Proverbs 23, verse 9, these are the words of God. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. So far the words of God. We have here another proverb about speech. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. And as often with these proverbs about speech, it follows the think before you speak pattern. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? And is it kind? This one, especially on the is it helpful and is it necessary? There are many things that you can say to someone who's a fool that are true and even important and even kind, because you want him to stop being a fool and you love him. But if you have reasonable expectation, whether from his proven character or past experience, that he despises the words or the wisdom of it, that all he wants to do is argue, or that he, you know, might smile and nod and agree, and you feel like you had a really good conversation, and he doesn't change his mind, goes out and does the same thing, speaks the same way. You come back and you're having the same conversation again a couple weeks later. He's forgotten how convincing the Bible was. At some point you realize, oh, it's not actually benefiting by or taking to heart the wisdom of these words. So there's something the helpful side, but there's also something important on the necessary side, and that is, unless you've been put in the office of teaching him, for instance, as his elder, or maybe one of these fools as your children, which, you know, don't mean to be an offense to any of you, but the Bible says folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Parenting, in many respects, is fool training. It's one of the reasons why we don't like to have as the companions of our children other children so much. And we much prefer wise adults to be companions. Because he who walks with the wise will be wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Which means that one of the ways that you obey this verse, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words, is that you hold your tongue, most of all, around other children. Don't allow your mouth to just run constantly. The vast majority of what it occurs to you that you could say in life is something you don't need to say, especially if you are not required by God to be their instructor. I had a very good question from someone yesterday, who was a young person, that has a friend who's in a situation where the friend is being foolish, although not, you know, overtly transgressing, and they wanted to know if Matthew 18 applied in that situation. Do they need to go and tell their friend their fault and start the process of Matthew 18? Well, it was a situation, I told him, that actually Matthew 7 is more of the place that it applies, where, first of all, in your attitude towards them, you want to extend as much grace as possible. But second of all, we have instruction there from the Lord Jesus not to cast pearls before swine. And, you know, I wasn't calling his friend a dirty hog. I was just pointing out that the Lord Jesus teaches us that part of wisdom is recognizing whether the person you're talking to is likely to appreciate the value of what you're telling them. And that is in keeping with our verse here. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Much of our speech is unnecessary. And especially if it's someone who you can reasonably expect is not going to appreciate the value of what you're saying, then it becomes unhelpful as well. and it fails the think before you speak test. One more situation that you need to think about in this is that sometimes you have something to say to someone that is as far as that particular individual is concerned, true, helpful, important, necessary, kind, but it's not absolutely necessary that you do it at that time. And there's somebody else within hearing for whom you know that because of the way they respond to you and biblical truth on your lips, that they tend to be provoked in the opposite direction. And it can be part of love to them that you desire that if they hear that truth, it comes from someone that they are more likely to accept it from. And so even though the friend that you're thinking about, it would be true, helpful, important, necessary, kind for them, you wait until another time when this other person who despises wisdom is not around, because you don't want to speak in a way that may be harmful to them. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. There are some things, for instance, that your mom and I won't say to each other, except for in private or to you in the presence of other people, just because we're taking into account not only the person we're directly speaking to, but you also need to take into account the other person, other people who are around that may hear. There's a lot to be considered, isn't there, to apply biblical wisdom to godly speech. So we're grateful to God for giving us so much instruction about it in His Word. Let's pray that His Holy Spirit would help us with our tongues. Our Father in heaven, we praise You, for You are God, You cannot lie. Your Word is pure, Your Word is powerful, and You use it perfectly. We pray that You would help us in our use of words. Thank You for making us people who may communicate by speech, part of being in Your image. I pray, Lord, for my children. I thank You for Christ, who perfectly used His mouth, even in His humanity. And I pray for each of my children that You would grant to them by faith in Jesus to have His righteousness counted for them, that they might never have to fear the eternal punishment that sinful speech deserves, knowing that Christ has taken it on Himself. But I pray, Lord, also that You would stir up their love for their Savior, that they would want to imitate Him and serve Him and bring Him praise with how they use their words. Help them, Lord, to obey this particular verse, to develop the skill of anticipating the effects of their words, not only on the person they're directly speaking to, but also to others who might be within hearing. And Lord, would You pray for not only for ourselves, that we would have wisdom in using words, but we pray, Lord, for those to whom we speak and around whom we speak. Give us favor in their eyes, that we might be the more enabled to do them good unto Your glory. Grant that whenever we speak poorly or erroneously, it would blow away like chaff. Grant that whenever we speak well and in accord with Your word, that Your Spirit would make it take root and would use it to build our brothers and sisters up in Christ and to bring into the kingdom those who are currently without hope and without God in the world. Oh Lord, we feel very much our weakness and our foolishness in this area of speaking, even as Your word says that if we were able to control well our tongues, we would be perfect people. And so give us this part of our maturing in Christ, we ask, that we would have righteous and wise speech. For we ask it through Jesus. Amen.